I was at a retreat with fellow pastors this week, and one of them had a great sense of humor, and he said he was going to entitle his sermon for today, "It's Always 9 O'Clock Somewhere." And say, why was that the important part of, we can't be drunk, it's only 9 in the morning? I thought that was really funny. Gotta love fellow pastors. But I really wanted to focus today on our confirmation, folks. This is such a special morning because it's confirmation day. And my sermon is actually intended to be especially for our guys getting confirmed. But I hope the rest of you will listen in because today is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for all of us to consider our faith journeys and where we're at. 8 of our teenagers have spent the last 9 months in confirmation class, but most of them have actually spent the last decade or more as a part of Christ Our Anchor's life. They attended Sunday school. They came up here for children's time week after week. They joined youth group and came to lock-ins and sang songs at VBS, and some of them have even attended mission trips. They belong here already. But this is an important turning point. In confirmation, what they were challenged to do was to dig deep into questions of faith. They've confronted doubt head-on. They've worked to articulate what it is that they really believe and what they still struggle with in their statements of faith. They've belonged to this church since their baptism, but in confirmation, what they're doing is declaring that they belong to God, that they intend to continue walking with God and talking to God and learning what He would have them do with their lives. So it's very exciting. Now, I'd say to you confirmands that belonging to God is not meant to trap you. It's not meant to hem us all in with rules. That's not what it means. You know very well at your age that we don't really have full control over our lives. Your parents will tell you what to do, where to go, when to be home, how to behave. Your teachers will try to tell you what to remember, when your work is due, what you're good at. And the world tries to control what you like, what you buy, and what you think about. At your age, many of your decisions are not your own, and we remember a time like that. But this decision really is yours. Belonging to God is the place where we really are the most free. I know that in deciding to continue on this journey, your life will be deeper, richer, and more full of love. Now, can I promise you that by being a person of faith, you'll never go through anything hard? I wish I could, but I can't. We all know, Jesus even says to his disciples, that in this world, you will have trouble. Life can be hard, but do you know what he says right after that to his disciples? He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. As for the rest of you here, you're not the ones that are standing up here today and answering questions and having a prayer said for you, but have you gone through such an exploration in your life, laying out what you really believe about God and Jesus, about the Holy Spirit and the church? What do you believe about why we are alive, about why we have communion and baptism, about what the Bible means for human beings? When is the last time that you challenged yourself to question your faith and consider what still rings true to you deep in your heart, not just what you were taught or what you've always done? When is the last time you questioned why you come here to church? Is it out of habit? Is it because everyone is so nice and so friendly here? Do you feel called to be at worship? Do you use your gifts and your talents here? Does church address problems that keep you up at night? There aren't right or wrong answers to these questions, but they're not things that we naturally consider all the time. This is the kind of process that's intended by confirmation. So I think maybe all of us should go through our own confirmations every few years just to make sure that our faith is still authentic and not just a reaction to what we've always been taught. God desires our authenticity and not just our going through the motions. There's a reason that confirmation takes place usually on Pentecost Sunday, on a day like today, Pentecost celebrates the fact that God is always moving the church towards new things, new leaders, new dreams. God does not let us stay stale and stagnant, but always chooses to blow fresh winds throughout our midst. And we call those fresh winds the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what moves someone like Mike or Diana to share their musical gifts with us each week. The Holy Spirit is what moves our deacons and our greeters and ushers to welcome people with a hug and with a genuine concern on how their week went. The Holy Spirit is what moves you all to share a struggle or a celebration during our prayer time. And I am convinced that the fresh wind that is moving through our church is moving strongly through our young people, the future leaders of the church and leaders of the world outside the church. It is their questions, their passions and talents that are going to guide our future. I thought with the remainder of my sermon, I would share with you just a few of the insights that came from these remarkable students' statements of faith. And I'm not going to embarrass them and name the authors, but let's jump in. Here we go. What do you believe about God? Who is God to you? Here are some of their answers. Even though God is all-powerful, watching over us, we are still invited into a friendship with him. God is like the sun, keeping the earth going and all of us in it. He looks after us, and we rely on his light. One of our students is a talented musician. He plays multiple instruments, and he sees God as a conductor, directing us and leading the song, but not controlling us. We are still independent players, able to do well and to make mistakes. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? What about him? Here are some of their ideas. That Jesus was forgiving of us, but also persistent. Sometimes we have a really hard time believing that we are forgiven. For example, Peter, one of the head apostles, denied Jesus 3 times before when he was killed. And Jesus asked Peter, very intentionally, 3 times, whether he loved him. This student noticed that and said, Jesus knew that Peter needed to cover over each one of his mistakes and failures with an act of love. Another said, Jesus is like a tour guide. We can follow him on the road of life, and we can ask him questions along the way. And so the Bible in this analogy acts as like a tour book or a brochure. It tells us what to expect in the world, what to look for, but that wisdom isn't complete without the help of the tour guide, Jesus. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit, what we're celebrating today? That was probably one of the toughest ones for our students. It's a hard one to explain, but a common theme sounded like this, that God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit as the voice in our head, our conscience almost. That voice in our head that nudges us towards what's really right for us and away from what might hurt us or hurt others. And whether we listen to that voice is up to us. What do you believe about human beings? What is the world like? Are we as human beings basically good or bad at our cores? This gets at the suffering in the world and why things sometimes seem so messed up. And I wonder what you would say about it. Here's what they had to say. One said that we as human beings are like lions. We get angry sometimes, and we can be downright dangerous when it comes to how we treat each other, but we stick together. We need each other. Another said, human beings are basically good, but we do bad things because maybe we lack a positive connection to things like family and unconditional love. Another said, I love this, we are not perfect. We are just children of God looking for answers. And then another said, human beings are basically like farm animals. I've preached about that. Not because we're so dumb. We're like farm animals because all we know is our little piece of land, our circumstances, whereas the farmer knows all of it, all the pens, including the places where we cannot see, the circumstances beyond what we can understand or imagine. Now, these are just a sample of what these students have wrestled with. And these are not the only questions that they answered. It was just the beginning. And as we said in the children's sermon, today is just the beginning for all of us. Absolutely none of us is finished yet, and God is not finished with us either. And that, my friends, is something to really be thankful for. Thanks be to God. Amen.